This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Silicon Valley Bank's collapse reverberates across global markets. Live from the BBC World Service, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Leanna Byrne. Good morning. Shares in Japan's biggest banks dropped sharply this morning as global markets reacted to the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank and the banking sector sell-off in the US. Japan's TOPIX Banks Index was down nearly 8%, on track for its worst day in more than 3 years. Meanwhile, the TOPIX, which tracks companies on the Tokyo Stock Exchange, fell more than 3%. Here's the BBC's Mariko Oi in Singapore.
Even after that reassurance from President Biden saying that the system is safe, Asian shares are still lower. So Japan's Nikkei 225, for example, down about 2%, similar numbers for Hong Kong and other major markets as well. And that's partly because there are some startups which have reportedly have some deposits with Silicon Valley Bank and so on. It's fair to say that investors are just closely watching what happens next.
Now, the response in Europe is mixed. London's FTSE is down 0.5%, and the region-wide Stoxx 600 was up a little. Yesterday, a rescue deal saw HSBC buy the British arm of Silicon Valley Bank for £1. HSBC boss Noel Quinn told the BBC's Simon Jack that markets have been spooked by a range of factors.
The investors are concerned about both inflation, higher interest rates, but also they're concerned about economic slowdown. And at the moment, I think the investors are struggling to read exactly where is the economy going in the next 3 to 6 months. I think that will stabilize over time, but it is an uncertain time at the moment, and therefore investors are nervous. But it's reversing interest rates, and you're getting inflation from supply chain pressures, and you're getting quantitative tightening taking place, not quantitative easing. You put that package together, it is having to rebalance the whole global economy and the monetary economy. And that's what's taking place.
What are you going to do with the bank that you've just bought? Are you going to keep its name? Are you going to put money in? What were your plans for that bank?
The important thing we've done to stabilise the confidence of our customers and the employees of Silicon Valley Bank UK, what we have done today is injected an additional $2 billion in liquidity as a vote of confidence so that people realise we have the financial strength and the financial ability to stabilise that business. And if more money is needed tomorrow and the day after, then I will do that as well to stabilise the liquidity of the position.
HSBC boss Noel Quinn there. Now, let's do the numbers. In non-SVB news, Volkswagen is investing more than $190 billion in plans to make its own batteries, expand in China and the US, and towards its transition into selling electric vehicles. Now, China's foreign ministry says it will resume issuing visas to foreign nationals from next Wednesday. It's a major easing of travel restrictions that have been in place since the start of the pandemic. From Beijing, here's the BBC's Stephen McDonnell.
Essentially, this is the last big plank in China reopening after the coronavirus emergency. Now, in recent times, other visas have been issued, but no tourists in here for more than 3 years. In the year before the pandemic started, 65 million international travellers came to Beijing. And in the interim, those sectors of the tourism industry geared up for foreign tourists, businesses have closed, people have lost their jobs, and they will welcome the return of foreign tourists to this country.
The BBC's Stephen McDonnell there. Now, here's a question. Did Nazi soldiers hide stolen valuables worth millions in the small Dutch village of Ameren? Hopeful treasure hunters think so, and they've been flocking to the village ever since the Dutch National Archive made public an old map marking the spot where the loot was said to be buried. But the villagers are not impressed, as Anna Holligan has been to find out.
Stashed somewhere beneath this soil are said to be four ammunition boxes stuffed with riches looted by the Nazis. Diamonds, gold, jewellery and watches. We found evidence of unauthorised excavations everywhere. Petra van Day came out of her cottage in comfy clogs and a furious scowl. Being at the epicentre of this treasure hunt is having an impact. She hasn't been sleeping well. One of the holes dug by strangers in her garden came up to her chest.
My name is Sander de Haas. I live here nearby.
Does it make this area even more interesting from a historical perspective?
I think so. And quite a lot of things happened here. There was quite some fights during the Second World War. So I think that should not be forgotten at all.
In the desolate, flooded fields of Holland, buffaloes plunge forward on the road to the strategic centre of Genep. Heavy mortar fire is encountered on the way, a very frequent occurrence in these parts.
Ommeren lies near what was the Allied front line during Operation Market Garden in 1944, an audacious British-American airborne attempt to create a land route into northern Germany. 2 weeks prior to the liberation of this land, the German soldiers thought to have been carrying the treasure were retreating and apparently decided to bury their fortune. We trace the origins of this story back to the Dutch National Archive. It was discovered by the Institute set up to track down belongings expropriated by the Nazis. They recorded the tale of a young parachutist identified as Helmut Sonder, who's thought to still be alive. He provided an eyewitness testimony and sketched the map.
The treasure was apparently buried deep inside the roots of a poplar tree.
Most locals, like Alexander, who's out with his rosy-cheeked daughter, believe the case of the Nazi treasure is simply a fairy tale.
I suppose we're famous now.
What do you make of the fact that this tiny village has been catapulted into the global spotlight?
I'm rather surprised by it. Look over there, that is my treasure, my little daughter. People from all over the world, well, from other countries, are travelling to this tiny little village looking and digging for the treasures. But it would be an adventure if we find something.
The BBC's Anna Holligan. Now, how much does a flight to the Netherlands and a metal detector cost? That's it from the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Leanna Byrne, and thanks for listening.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.